It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It is always a good day when I wake up, I give thanks, I'm feeling better. I had a little minor episode, which I think was very interesting. I'll get to that in a moment. Puppy is curled up down by my bare feet. And I have just this fantastic woman I cannot wait to introduce you to. Her name is Sue Frederick. SueFrederick.com, for those of you that have to go Google and check things out and see what she's all about, because you are going to want to know her on a deeper, more intimate level the minute she starts speaking. Okay, so let me set the stage here. Richard Carlini, love him, Reverend Richard from Unity. He sent me an email and said, Jane, you need to meet Sue. Sue sends me an email. She had looked over my stuff and said, oh my gosh, I think we're soul sisters. And then we set up a call to chat. We chat. We're like, bop, 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 bop. And here we are today because we truly are like soul sisters. We've known each other a long, long time, although we only met in this human form a week ago. Sue Frederick is my guest today. She is an intuitive spiritual coach, soon to be Unity minister, author of Bridges to Heaven, True Stories of Loved Ones on the Other Side, I See Your Soulmate, and I See Your Dream Job, and Your Divine Lens, The Secret to Finding Purpose, Healing Grief, and Living in Alignment with Your Soul. Holy cow, we have a lot to unpack in 30 minutes. Sue, welcome to the show.
Oh, it is such a pleasure. And just like you said, you are my soul sister. And it's just an honor to talk to you.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. You know, here's the weird thing. Well, not weird. It's just, you know, there are no coincidences, right? So shortly after we were introduced and we started exchanging emails and then we set up a time to chat over Zoom, I got really sick really quickly, like just this bizarre, weird, you know, violent, very quick. And it left me very reflective, like, okay, what do I need to learn? What is going on? You know, I'm in my head going through my environment, going through everything I ingested, going through everything I've been thinking, trying to figure out, because that's me. Like I own it. I own the sickness as much as I own my healing. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure it all out. Meanwhile, you and I are introduced. You send me one of your books to read and I open it up and here's what I read. I've been knocked flat in bed with 103 degrees of fever and a scary cough that leaves me nauseous and unable to eat. This potent combination of high fever and days without food has cleansed my body, shaken my brain, and broken me wide open. Between bouts of fever, I feel newborn as a baby, joyful and grateful to be alive. Holy cow. I started shaking. I'm like, this woman is writing what just happened to me. I mean, it's just crazy. So, oh my gosh. All right. So let's just start with this. You're an intuitive spiritual coach. You were not always an intuitive spiritual coach. Take me back to the moment when you broke through to the other side and you said, okay, I need to do this.
Well, just like many people, probably even yourself, Jane, I tried to be normal for many years in my life and fit into the conventional world. I was actually a journalist for 20 years and wrote for magazines and newspapers. And actually, I wrote about health because I had been grieving since I was 29 and my husband had died from cancer. And that was a long time ago.
Wow.
1979. And at the age of 29, I went on the seeking journey to find out who we are, why we're here, why we suffer, where we go when we die. And I'd studied all religions, continue to study all religions. I'm about to be a Unity minister. Yeah. And what I found is in my own personal experiences that, you know, the minute Paul left his body, he was appearing to me and telling me things and like in unmistakable evidence that he was alive and well in the divine realms. And then Chrissy, my best girlfriend, died the following year. And boy, she was really coming back with a lot of clarity and messages. And yet I kept that pretty hidden from the world because I thought, you know, if I share that, I'm going to be labeled crazy. This was 70s and 80s, you know, I'll be labeled crazy. I certainly won't find a boyfriend. You know, those were my thoughts back then. And yet that was my core nature. So it just kept getting stronger and stronger in my experiences more and more. And finally, one day, the dark night of my soul, I got out of journalism and launched a career coaching business, which is interesting because I tiptoed into my work. I thought, well, I'll just label myself a career coach. And yet while I'm working with people, I'll use my intuition and my numerology, which I've studied for 40 years, you know, and
sneak it in.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet again and again, my clients would go, wait, that part, that's what I want more of. That's what's helping me, you know? And then funny enough, while I was still hiding out, I had a client who was really pushing me over the edge because he wanted 100 resumes and all this very mundane stuff. And he wasn't interested in the divine part. And I one night, just like you, got physically ill. I got sick to my stomach, high fever, really, really, really bad. And when I came out of that 2 days later, my soul had made it clear, Sue, if you're going to stay alive in your human form, you got to do your true work now or never.
Ah, that's awesome. I mean, not the sick part, but there is this this purging almost that seems to take place when a breakthrough is coming.
It is true.
Yeah. And, you know, as long as you can understand that it's okay and try not to judge it or try not to overanalyze it, just allow that to take over. And then just know that when you do get on the other side, there's going to be something pretty remarkable waiting for you.
Absolutely.
Know, that you can step into. Wow, what a cool story. So here you are now. You're an intuitive spiritual coach. You help grieving clients by connecting them with their departed loved ones. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a moment, because grief is huge. And I don't feel that we ever, we don't recover, so to speak, from grief.
Of course not.
It's just, you know, we learn how to kind of live with it. You know, we carry it along with us, and it comes, it ebbs and it flows. And it's just a lifelong, I think it's kind of almost the more you grieve, the more you've loved. So it's sort of like this big blessing, even though it's a painful blessing at times. Let's talk about that.
The way I see it, I call it divine mother grief. And I say that if divine mother grief has touched your life, it's because you came here to grow and break your heart wide open because you wanted to be able to be your true spiritual self down here in the physical realms and remember that the purpose here is love and not get lost in all the craziness of our world. And eventually you wanted to become some form of a healer yourself.
Wow.
And that became my truth. And it really kept me alive after I lost so many people in my 30s. And, you know, in traditional grief counseling, a lot of times people are told, you know, it's time to move on. And that really doesn't help people because they are a different person now.
Right. Right.
You know, and that departed loved one is still with them in so many ways, especially the grieving moms that I work with.
Oh.
I mean, their children come through more strongly than any other spirits in the divine realms. And their children have messages for all of us. And the message is, hey guys, you're kind of acting like lunatics down there. The truth is you're all there to love each other. Would you just get over yourselves and do that?
Wow. Wow. I love that. So that seems to be an ongoing theme that you're receiving from these young individuals.
Right.
And here are these moms who, you know, I'm a mom. I know what it's like to grow a human being. I felt like an alien. It was the most beautiful experience ever. And then to have these two beautiful people that I love so much as adults now, don't even want to try to think about that. But I've been around a lot of it because obviously this show brings me to it. And I personally have two very close individuals to me in my life that have lost young sons in their 20s. It's almost unfathomable. So you're receiving these messages from these young individuals that are reaching out.
Let me make it clear here, because I don't want any listeners to be thinking, oh, Sue Frederick has this special gift, so I need to go see somebody like her to talk to my departed child. Because for too long, our culture has said to people, you know, normal people can't connect to the departed, or maybe shouldn't connect to the departed. And yet the truth is, everybody, if you have a left brain and a right brain, you have the intuition that allows you to connect to the divine realms. The problem is we just ignore it, shut it out, say it's not true, deny it, you know. And once you've been broken open through grief, your mind shuts up for a while and just says, you know, I got no answers here. And so your heart and your soul get more powerful, and you can hear their voices more clearly. You can see them more clearly. So anyone who's grieving knows that their departed has come through and whispered in their ear, or come through in dreams, or given them a sign, and they may have negated it. And I'm just here to say, no, baby, that's them. Trust it.
Good. Oh, that's good, Sue. And I completely am so aligned with that. I wanted to shout an amen, sister, in the middle of that, because I really believe we can all connect as well.
Yes.
And sometimes, though, when you are so steeped in your grief, you are not able, you've almost like shut that door because the pain is too much. And, you know, and we do shut down. And I think probably it's a good thing that we have that autopilot that seems to take over, where you're still alive and you're going through the motions when you're so deeply involved in loss it happens. You know,
as you say that, I realize that my job and all sensitive people, intuitive people, our jobs are to simply hold the grieving people in our hearts, make them feel comforted and loved, and then help them just for the brief hour that we're working with them, help them lift their vibration just a bit, so that they can feel that connection to their departed. Because when we're in that deep pain and grief, our vibration is kind of low. And so it makes it hard for us to hear and feel the presence of the higher angels, the realms. And so if we can raise our energy to gratitude, to a little bit of joy, a little bit of humor, in love, especially any of those emotions, raise our energy so that we are more in tune with the messages from the divine. So maybe I'm just the facilitator who makes the client feel so loved, so nurtured, and gets the client to remember a happy memory, and suddenly their beautiful child is standing right in front of us.
Oh, that's so pretty. I just have to sit with that for a second. I'm taking notes, because everything you're saying is just, it's really lovely, and it just feels so real and so authentic and so attainable, you know, for the person that's listening right now, that is grieving and has had to literally say goodbye to someone that they love so deeply. Right. This is really a great lesson for them, and just an understanding, you know, that's beautiful.
And you know, the moms that I work with, I just want to put a shout out to them.
Sure.
A lot of them call themselves the woo-woo moms, because they never believed in anything, quote, woo-woo before. And they were very logical and practical. And many of them had PhDs or were MDs. I mean, very educated, very left brain. And then their child died and they started having these experiences that were undeniable. And they came to a point in their life where they said, I either have to believe this woo-woo stuff is real, or I have to think I've lost my mind. And so they call themselves the woo-woo moms now, you know.
And that's great.
And one thing I want to say about them is, one of the realizations they come to is that their child is actually their teacher. That the child who departs early, even if it was overdose or even suicide, that was a highly evolved, sensitive soul who just couldn't be in this physical world any longer, and is now teaching them and other people from the divine realms.
Oh, that's good. That's important to hear, especially the portion of that that sticks with me is suicide, because society still has this hard-nosed,
I know,
bad connotation when you say suicide. They did not commit.
Right. Suicide. Exactly.
You know, that is not what that is. That is, it's a pained soul that needed to move on.
The way I think of it is they just chose an early exit.
Right. You know,
we all have certain exit points where we have a choice. If it's time and we ask ourselves, am I going to be able to accomplish what I came to accomplish in this lifetime? Or do I need to kind of check out and hit the reset button here? And so the soul evaluates, and the fact that we have such an epidemic of young people committing suicide, what that says to me, I'm sorry that I use those words, committing suicide. What I want to say is we have young children choosing to exit early. And mm-hmm. what I believe about that is that they're highly evolved souls, and they know that if they stay in this physical world much longer, they are going to lose their sensitivity, their sense of what's true and spirituality, that inner knowingness that they're carrying that makes them feel they don't fit here. And they decide, no, I don't want to be an earthbound soul. I just really want to stay connected to my own higher consciousness, and I'll do a better job if I can help people from those realms. And so they exit.
Wow.
You know, religion puts all kinds of labels on that. And I grew up Catholic. So,
boy.
Really? I mean, according to Catholicism, those kids are doomed to hell. And that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. And no souls I've ever spoken to on the other side ever validate anything like that. Like, there is no hell. You cross over, you have your soul review in a loving way, where you see the areas that you were trying to learn and where you could have done a little better. And you learn all of that in a loving consciousness. And then you move on and learn more.
You go. Wow. Sue Frederick is my guest today. I told you this was going to go incredibly fast. SueFrederick.com is her website. She's an intuitive spiritual coach, soon to be Unity minister. Let's touch on that, because as a Unity minister, I've gotten some emails from Reverend Rich that you are highly involved with these death cafes, which I think are so cool. And I haven't been part of one. I keep thinking I should start one of my own, because it just aligns with everything I'm doing. But I've been just a little bit busy with the launch of the book and the podcast that I haven't been able to make the space. Tell me about these death cafes. Now, here it is, November 15th. You've got one coming up November 20th in 2021, just in case anybody's listening and wondering what year it is out there. So you actually have one coming up on the 20th. And what I'll do is I'll take the link and put it right into our summary show page so that people can click on it and join. So let's talk about it.
So in our culture, as you know, Jane, you know, death is a taboo subject.
And
so even when somebody dies, you know, people will come up to their loved ones and be loving for a couple of weeks, and then everybody's gone. And then when they see that grieving person, they don't say, tell me your story. How did your child die, or anything? They don't ask those things. They think it's wrong to talk about death. And yet the opposite is true. Death needs to be incorporated into life. And if we talk about death, if it's as easy and friendly as going to a cafe and having a cup of coffee and talking about death, then we bring that into the light. We begin to bring death into the light as if it's as normal as birth, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the purpose of death cafes.
I love it. That's so cool. So you help, you're on a committee to help facilitate this death cafe coming up on the 20th. Is there a fee associated?
$10.
Okay. And so is it on Zooms, or is it like a, where we just kind of click and then we're in a room and we can just chat?
Well, we're on Zoom in these, and we get to see each other, and then we get put into breakout rooms, and, you know, people just discuss what's on their mind about death and dying, you know, and then they might say, you know, my mother's in the hospital and she's in her final hours, and this is what we're dealing with. And somebody else might have a different kind of question. And so think of yourself as sitting in a coffee shop with a group of people going, you know, what are your experiences with death and dying? What do you think about it? Just the way we might talk about what are your experiences with playing baseball? You know, right. the same kind of energy.
Right. I love it. Well, I'm going to add it to my calendar. I was just looking at my phone going, do I have anything going on Saturday, the 20th of November? Nope. I'm free. I'm going to be at your death cafe.
Awesome.
That's really, really great. I'm super excited because then I can kind of see how it all works. So, we haven't even touched on the past life between soul regressions that you do. Can we just touch on that for a minute before we have to close?
Yeah, I've been doing intuitive sessions with people for 20 years, and I was recently really pulled to do the between lives and past life soul regressions because I had attended some that were life-changing for me, kind of gave me a reboot in, you know, where my life is headed in these next decade or so. And so I decided I wanted to offer that to my clients. And what it is you just, you know, I take you through a deep relaxation state, not, you know, people think hypnotism. No, it's just, I put you in a deeply relaxed state where you feel very loving and safe. And then I guide you. I take you kind of on this journey, you know, and you go and you suddenly see a very important, pertinent past lifetime that has something to do with what you're trying to learn today. And I help you process that. And you meet with your spirit guides on the other side and say, you know, how am I doing down here? Is there anything you want to tell me that will help me live the rest of my life in a powerful, positive way? And you get information. And the great thing for me, I'm just the facilitator. I'm taking them on the journey and they are having the experience and sharing it. And I'm taking notes and we record it. And they all just go, wow, I feel like I really was there and I really had those conversations. And now I have answers to so many things. And it lifts them above whatever challenge they're in the middle of. I did one for a deeply grieving mom a few days ago. And boy, she came out of it with such a different perspective on the loss of her son. And it really empowered her. She understood who they were to each other in a past lifetime. And she understood, you know, the purpose of her being here now to go through this loss and what she was trying to learn. And once we understand the lesson of what we're going through, it gets easier. It gets more graceful. We feel, you know, more hope, more optimism. It doesn't feel like a random, horrible tragedy anymore.
Wow. Oh, goodness. That is beautiful. Sue Frederick, SueFrederick.com, author of 5 books. She's an intuitive spiritual coach. And as you can hear, she just is a yummy human being. I'm just so grateful that Rich Carlini connected us. Boy, we are almost at the end here. I like to ask people, because the name of the show is The Next Room, and it's my interpretation of what is next after we leave here. You know, we're here, and then we're just here in this next room. What is in the next room for Sue Frederick?
Well, when I cross over, I hope that I have learned the arc of learning that I came here to learn in this lifetime, that I've gotten very clear on. I was a warrior in a past lifetime, and I carried that warrior energy into this lifetime. And, you know, it served me in being strong and courageous and accomplishing a lot. But what I'm trying to learn in this lifetime is pure, loving compassion for everyone, no matter how they behave. And that arc of learning has been a hard learning lesson for me. And so I hope that when I cross over, I can say, okay, I gave it my best. I did as well as I could. And now I want to help more people from these divine realms, the way people have helped me, you know, down here. So that's what I'm hoping. And then I have a job up there. I've been told that I'll be able to help people process their lives when they cross over. And that makes me so happy.
Oh, that's a cool job. I would love to know what my job is. That's very cool. Pure loving compassion for everyone.
No matter how they behave.
I was just going to say, here's the kicker. No matter how they behave. That Boy, is.
Yeah, we all have a lot of chance to practice that right now in the world.
Sure. No kidding. Oh my gosh. Isn't that the truth? I'm in all of these great, fun, spiritual woo-woo clubs on Facebook. And one of them is called the Spiritual Nutters Group. And it's hilarious. The memes are the best. And I giggle daily. And one of them is that, you know, it's like the hand of the Holy Spirit coming over your face when somebody says something ridiculous and you're about to go off on them.
Right.
And then you just know, nope.
Yep.
Let them be.
Yep.
That's their journey. That's where they are in their evolution of understanding and learning.
Right.
You do you. Let them do them. Stay in your own lane. All is well.
Another question we can say is, you know, when we're about to lose it, we can go, how is this going to look in my soul review? What am I going to think of my behavior when I'm on the other side looking at it, you know?
Yeah.
And, and that makes you take a breath and kind of get back into your heart, get out of your head. And that's where our truth is. Our truth is in our heart. It's not in our crazy monkey minds. And the more, whatever we can do to live that more heart-centered life, that's what we're all here to do.
Yay. That's a wrap. This is The Next Room. Thank you very much for joining me. Sue Frederick is my guest. Head to suefrederick.com to connect with her. You can do private sessions with her. You can buy her books. You can attend her Death Cafe coming up on November 20th, or all of the above. She's that amazing. I think you're really going to fall in love with this woman, because I know that's right where I am now. The Next Room has a great Facebook page, awesome community. Thank you very much for everyone that has bought The Next Room. I'm thrilled. It is, it's kind of exciting. And I did not set out to, you know, I didn't really even think about that. I didn't even know what I was doing when I started to write this, but it came, and this is the result of my mother working with me, The Next Room. And so thank you to everyone that has purchased it so far. That's a wrap on The Next Room. Thanks so much, Sue Frederick. I want to have you back on maybe after the first of the year, once you're ordained as a Unity Reverend. Is it Reverend, Minister, or Pastor with Unity?
Well, they call you Reverend Sue, you know, but I'll be an ordained minister. So I'm really
okay. I love it. Okay, very cool. Reverend Sue. It's got a nice ring to it. Thank you so much for tuning into The Next Room. I will catch you all next week.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.